HT family. Hallelujah. How are you this morning? You're looking wonderful out there. Give yourselves a hand clap. So glad to see you this morning. I'm Pastor Patricia, and I'm here to do your announcements. Do we have any first-time visitors? If we do, can I see your hand, please? First-time visitors. None yet. One. Okay. Let's give her a hand praise. Thank God for you coming to visit us. We have what we call a connect room where we let you, would like for you to visit to let you know what's going on in this church and to just introduce you to some of the staff and the people that are here and for you to ask questions if you have any more questions or concerns about the church. We would sure like to have you here. So I hope you feel welcome, and we do love you. Thank you for coming. The next announcement is concerning Women's Weekend. This weekend coming up is Women's Weekend! So Friday night and Saturday is the celebration that we'll be doing. On Friday, which is May 7th, we're having a service from 7 to 9. And Pastor Rhonda will be our speaker on Saturday morning from 10 to noon, I think it is. We will be having a brunch. So we're asking that you register. I think at up front they have registration. So are you would like to? No, sir, it's for women only. I'm sorry. Maybe they'll have something for men. Sorry. Okay, so moving on. The registration fee is $20, which is not much. If you can register online or outside at one of the booths. All right, moving right along. We're going to have 21 days of praise. Woo! All right, hallelujah. During this time, expect revival. Hallelujah. We have said it from 7 to 8, but it may go a little longer. We don't know. So just expect revival. Come with your praise shoes on. Get your voice ready to scream and holler and rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Now that's going to begin May 9th. And it will be Tuesday through Friday night, beginning at 7 o'clock, and that will be for 3 weeks. Now, there is no child care, so what we're asking you to do is bring those kids in. Teach them how to praise along with you. Hallelujah. We don't want, you know, to be in here getting it all. They got to get some, too, because they got a devil to face themselves. So when they learn how to praise God, they'll learn how to push that devil back in the place where he's supposed to be, and that's under their feet. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Okay, moving right along. We have Uproar Youth Service, and it's every Sunday morning doing second service, and it's for grades 7 through 12. So youth, make sure you get in that service, and you know what you can do? Put these adults to shame. Come on, put them to shame. Rejoice in the Lord. Let your praise be known unto the Lord. Let him know that, God, I am a youth, but I still will give you the glory and the honor that you are due, because you said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, and I will praise him.
We love you. Hallelujah. Wow, we just came back from camp meeting. It was awesome. God's spirit was moving, and it's the greatest camp meeting we've ever been to date. In fact, they're going to have to move it next year. There's absolutely no more room. And there were pastors from all over the country, and it was just phenomenal. We're very excited what God's doing here. And what's really cool is you'd be surprised how many pastors watch us. And they're really blessed and encouraged by us as the people of God worshiping and what the Lord is doing in this house. They're watching, learning, and growing. We actually will have, I think, 4 churches that we're going to be helping out to grow. They've come to us and asked us to help them. And what there's no greater privilege than building God's kingdom. Amen? Amen. So, Pastor Rhonda, you are so beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Anyways, yeah. I just want to thank you for being such an awesome family and body of Christ. Last week, my friend Somebody help me with Pastor Spencer. Security, where are you? My friend Susan talked about Compassion International here, and you know, our family is so amazing. She talked to the director, and usually when a church does a Compassion Day, they maybe get 3 or 5 of these children sponsored, and these kids are waiting sometimes over a year. They get nothing unless they're sponsored, and when they're sponsored, they get to go to school, they get fed, they get taken care of, and they follow them all the way into their adult lives to make sure that they're successful. And so with our church, after the first time, there were 15 sponsored. And the director was so excited, he asked if they could extend it another week, which they did. But listen, we were driving down. I didn't get a chance to sponsor a child. And actually, you know what? I didn't think a thing of it, honestly. And we were driving down to camp meeting, and I was reading my Bible, and I came across this scripture, and I started reading it, and it's Psalms 41:1-3. Write that down, Psalms 41:1-3. It says, blessed is he who considers the poor. Amen. So many times we're in our own little world, and we don't consider the poor. And right here, it gives a list of blessings I'm going to read to you. It says, blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. He will bless him on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. And you will sustain him in his sick bed. And immediately, I text Susan.
Immediately.
When you hear a directive from the Word of God, we need to jump and immediately obey the Word of God. And so I immediately text Susan. I'm like, Susan, I need to sponsor a child. Give me one right now. Here's my credit card. Sign me up. She did it right over the phone. We got it taken care of. And so now we're sponsoring a young boy in Haiti. And when I announced it in first service, before service had even concluded, she already had 7 more people that had signed up to sponsor children. So
Amen. There
is a special blessing on those that consider the poor. And that is just awesome. You're an awesome family.
You are an amazing
people. So make sure she will have the table still set up. She'll be out there after the service. So make sure you sponsor a child.
Now, we also want to make an announcement. As you know, we are launching a new campus in Geneva, New York, in October. Pastor Obina Igbo and Tara Igbo, as a team, husband and wife, will be going up there every Sunday, and we'll be launching a full-blown campus up in Geneva, thank you. Maybe Owego is the next one.
Oh, no. Slow down, Pastor. Slow down.
God. Never know. So, as you know, Pastor Obi is over the Bible College and will remain the dean of the Bible College. Many people don't know, but we have recently become an SEU campus, the only one in New York State. What that is Southeastern University and Assemblies of God Bible College. It is an accredited school, so classes can be taken here and go full accreditation, federally accredited. But we also have our own Bible school, and in this Bible school, it's called Remnant Bible College, and we've trained pastors, we train leaders, and Pastor Obi is going to be so busy. We were able recently to be blessed to hire on full time. If you guys will come, we want to introduce them to you. Pastor Tim and Pastor Noel. You might know the last name Stearns. This is Pastor Aaron's brother. And they were actually trained at Atlanta School of Ministry. To be directors there, and then I think Jesus likes us better, moved them up here, and so they're going to be handling the everyday experience. We want our young people that are going in ministry know how to pray. We want them to know how to worship. We want them to have a Holy Ghost move. We want them to know how to move in the gifts of the Spirit, and this young couple is going to lead them in that.
Amen.
Amen. So thank you very much. We're excited.
And they'll be taking over Awaken Young Adults.
Awaken Young Adults. These will be your new leaders. So Pastor Obi's going to be very busy. Amen? We love you. We're excited. Yay! You're on staff. Glory to Jesus.
Awesome.
Can I have a hug? Noel actually grew up here. I don't know if you knew that or not. He did not, but we'll take it. We love you.
Amen.
So much going on. We're so excited. Are you ready to worship?
Yes.
I'm just so excited.
We're going to pray. Stand to your feet. Father, we just love you so much. You are an awesome and mighty and perfect an amazing God. There is no one
nobody,
like you, Jesus.
Nobody like
we
you.
We just lift you up right now. We lift
Hallelujah.
Your name. And God, we know
we
that
worship you,
everything
Jesus.
That is against you and anti
That's right.
you has to flee
yes.
right now. Flee from our lives.
In Jesus
flee from
name.
This room. Flee from our presence. Flee
Hallelujah.
From our minds. Flee from our hearts. Flee from our bodies. Everything that
Hallelujah.
Is not of you. God, right now, we command it to
we
flee.
We bless your name, oh God.
As we invite your presence. As we
Thank
run
you,
into
Thank
your
you,
presence, Jesus.
Jesus.
We just love you.
Hallelujah.
And we praise
Hallelujah.
You in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Come on, let's enjoy Jesus.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Come on up, come on up, come on up, come on up, come on up. We got a lot of rug here. We got a lot of space here. Dang, y'all got in a single file line to come down. Lord God, bless them. Bless them. How y'all doing? Come on, if you know this, sing with me. Say, something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name.
Shout that. No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that I win.
What we're going to do is we're going to take it all the way old school. Because I really feel this. I really feel this. You know, I went to a church one time where they only had drums and you had to make your own praise. So what we're going to do is we're going to stop the instrumentalists and we're just going to go with the drums. Is that cool? Nah. Is that cool? But we serve a great God. So he deserves a great praise, right? He deserves a great shout, right? So come on and give God a great shout this morning. Yeah. Hallelujah. Come on and lift your hands and just focus in on what the Father has done for you. Some would say, well, he hasn't done much. But the craziest part is you woke up this morning and you've got breath inside your lungs and you can sing, you can shout. So that's so much more than what other people can do. And that's because he thought you was worth life this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
So if you know this song, come on and sing it with me. Yeah. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I can be.
Hallelujah. Nothing but the blood.
That I'll say, I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. Say, there's healing in the blood, there's healing in the blood of Jesus. Say, there's healing in the blood.
Presence this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for touching us, for changing us, Lord. Is someone here, your right shoulder feels like literally it's going to fall off your body. In the name of Jesus, I speak right now to the muscles. I speak right now to the tendons. I speak right now to the bones. And I command you to be reattached properly. I command all the pain to be gone. I said, go. In Jesus' name. Father, restructure that shoulder for the glory of God. This another individual, this is one I don't even know how. I'm just going to describe it to you because I have no other explanation. It almost feels like there's somebody pushing up on your nose. You can feel it in the bridge of your nose. And then it almost feels like a hand or a weight that goes all the way to the back of your head. I don't know what that is. I don't really care what it is. All I know is if Jesus revealed it, he'll heal it. So God, as specific as you are right now in this, I know that that son or daughter needs completion. I command it right now in the name of Jesus. I command all symptoms to cease. I command all of the outward expressions to no longer be evident in their body. And I now speak to the cause, and I curse you in Jesus' name. And I command help to the body, help to the mind, help to the face. Jesus, you'll be whole in them. God, I give you praise and honor. Another individual, it's take your shoulder blade, go over to the corner down that far, and you're having a single pain right in there. It's not like it's taking over your whole body. It's not your taking over your whole heart. Just that. It's almost like a pencil being pushed in. In Jesus' name, I command it to cease right now for the glory of God. And Father, no longer there be any pain in that arena. And Lord, I speak to the cause. I command you to be gone in Jesus' name. Father, you love us so deeply and desperately. Someone's right pinky finger is being healed in Jesus' name. I curse arthritis and the pain that you carry on a consistent basis, especially you type a lot at work and you're constantly in pain. God is healing that in Jesus' name. Father, I just thank you. Lord, you care about the simplest things all the way to the most serious things. You are so faithful to your sons and your daughters. Thank you, God, for caring for us. We love you desperately, and we want to love you more. I pray you'll start a fire in our spirit, Holy Ghost, where we're going to desire more of Jesus. It's going to come out of nowhere because it's not man-built, it's Holy Spirit-built, to draw us closer to you and have a higher desire than we've ever had before for the glory of God. For the glory of God, we honor you, Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, you got to know the angels wish they could sing what you're singing right now. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Someone's sciatic nerve on the right side down to the bottom of your buttocks is being healed in Jesus' name. Someone else is having a problem with their ear in their left ear. In the name of Jesus, I command it to come unclogged, and I curse the infection for the glory of Jesus. Father, we take authority over every sickness and disease that is represented in this room. I speak to you now in Jesus' name. You know your placement. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. You understand the blood of Jesus. You understand the cross. I speak to you now, disease, and I command you in Jesus' name to be bound, and I loose the healing power of Jesus. What has been disintegrated and deteriorated, I command you to be restored by the power of God. Now, God, even to the simplest cold, to the flu, we command health and healing in the name of Jesus. Someone's left Achilles heel is being healed in Jesus' name. Someone's questioning their spouse and their life. And God wants you to know today what he put together. God is for you and not against you. And God is going to work out that marriage situation that you're concerned about. I can be very more specific, but I won't be. You know who I'm talking to, because now your spirit just jumped. You always jump when the Holy Ghost is speaking to you. And Father, I thank you that today we get to hear about your goodness and your greatness in Jesus' name. Ariel, can you share that testimony, honey? You guys got to hear this. So many people say to me, I've never heard of a miracle. I've never seen a miracle. Get ready.
I thought I was going to get away with it. So, real quick, 5 years ago, my brother was diagnosed with lung cancer. He had surgery to remove that part that was cancerous. 2 years ago, he was diagnosed with the lung cancer again, as well as bone marrow cancer. Just to keep in mind, no medical treatment was mattered. My brother went to a month ago. They said that the spot in the lung had gotten smaller. Then this week, he went back to the doctor again. Not only did he not have lung cancer, but he don't have bone marrow cancer either. And we thank God for that.
Come on, you can do better than that. You're serving an awesome. Woo! Hallelujah! God is the God of the miraculous. Don't get discouraged in waiting for your miracle. Don't get discouraged in waiting for your miracle. Don't you abandon it.
Come on, Pastor.
Amen? Don't abandon your miracle. Stand tight. Might take a few years. I don't like the timing always of God, I'll be honest with you. I don't always enjoy the timing of God. But there's one thing that I know for sure, that does matter. I cannot lie, he said. His truth endures forever. And if you and I stay tight, we'll fight that good fight of faith, then we will see great answers, especially in these last days. Isn't it exciting? I don't know about you, but that's a great miracle. That's a great miracle. Amen. And if God will do it for one, he'll do it for all. But don't lose faith. I just keep hearing that in my spirit. Don't lose faith. Don't lose faith. But what if I die and it doesn't happen? I'd rather die in faith any day than die in doubt. Plus, you don't know, like the boy at the city of Nain, he was dead. I mean, this is his funeral. He's in the funeral. Like, he's not even, I mean, he's dead. Jesus walks up to the city of Nain, and there's his ma crying, weeping. Her husband had already died. Now her son is dead. Jesus didn't go, sorry for you. Feel bad for you. Man, you don't need somebody with sympathy. You need somebody with empathy. Jesus was moved with compassion over this woman and spoke over this boy who was dead. His spirit was already in eternity. Watch now. Jesus, with the power and the authority that he has given you and I, reached into eternity, said, come back now. Whoosh. And the boy came alive right there at his own funeral. Man, messing up that funeral. That's a messed up funeral, isn't it? Messed up that whole funeral. Jesus brought him back to life. He didn't even have faith because he was already dead. God can do a miracle. Don't you ever give up on your miracle. Amen? Don't you ever give up. Don't you let doubt and unbelief grab a hold of you. Don't you let, well, I've been waiting so long. Listen now, you got to be careful of your words. Life and death are in the power of your words. You got to guard your mouth. Well, that's a whole sermon. I could preach that right now. So many of us destroy our own miracles, our own move of the Holy Spirit, with our own mouth. Life and death in the power of the tongue, and you shall eat the fruit thereof. Watch your mouth. Don't you let everybody speak in your ear. Some people you just got to tell, you need to back off, man. Well, I'm just trying to be there for you. Shut up. I don't need people like you in my life. Listen, when I have a need, I don't tell everybody. I only tell the people I know that are going to have faith with me. Why? Well, because I don't need Doubting Thomas hanging out with me in the upper room. He's in the upper room. I don't need that. I need someone that's going to say, hey, I know it don't make sense, but I know this. Two's touching one thing, it shall be done. I'm going to call those things which are not as they already are completed. I'm not going to back down. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. Brother Ted said it this week. Everything is first spiritual. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers. Everything is established first in the spiritual realm. And if we fight in the flesh and don't fight the good fight of faith that activates heaven, then you're going to be awful disappointed for the rest of your life. And you'll be worn right out. Who said that? You said that. You'll be worn right out. Fight the good fight of faith. Find people that are going to speak faith into your life, not doubt into your life. You know, you can be nice to them. You don't have to cuss them out in nothing. You know, you just step aside. There are people I step aside from. Yeah, I like you. Don't talk to me. Because I need someone with faith on my side, not someone with doubt on my side. Amen? Then you just stand firm. Amen. Stand firm. Is that all right? Is that okay, that little interjection? Did that work for you online? You need to have faith. Without faith, you can't please God. Brother R.W. Shambach said it this way. You don't have trouble. Have faith in God. Faith moves mountains. And you don't need a lot. You just need a mustard seed. But you don't want to crush your mustard seed with your mouth. Amen? Fertilize it with the words of God, and it will always grow. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I'm excited what the Holy Spirit is doing in this house. Coming back and being able to minister and just associate with so many great men and women of God down in the camp meeting. Brother Ted is going to be doing some tent meetings. Brother Kakritz, I honor you this morning. Brother Ted is going to be doing camp meetings, 4 different tent revivals in North Carolina in the month of May and June. And we're going to be putting together some teams to go down there and help him. No, I didn't say get. I said give. And I didn't say money. I said life. So if you are interested in helping out with that, we're going to be putting together, in fact, they have it already out front Yes, they do. Have it already out front at the guest relations table. Is that what we call it now? The info center, where you can sign up, and they have the dates on there. We're going to send teams down to help with that. So if you'd like to do that, I know you will be blessed. And what was really cool, and Pastor Rhonda was mentioning it earlier, about you can't outgive God. There's a new evangelist. I guess he's new to me. I've never heard of him before. And God spoke to him. He's a young guy. Spoke to him that he wanted him to do tent revivals, just like Brother Ted was doing. And so he went out and got a tent to borrow. But the guy he was borrowing the tent said, well, if I'm going to lend you my tent, you're going to let me speak in it too. Strings attached. And so Brother Ted heard this. And the Holy Spirit spoke to Brother Ted and said, I want you to give him your tent. Now, you need to know that's more than $1.25. And that Friday night, he stood up and gave his 1,000-seater tent to this young man. And he's actually going to, the very first one, going to send his own people up to set it up. You know, you can't outgive God. And it was Brother Ted's birthday this weekend. So Teddy Jr., who's going to be here at the end of praise and worship, the whole 21 days, we're going to conclude it with Brother Ted Shuttlesworth Jr. preaching. You're not going to want to miss that. Then the week after, Bishop Rick Thomas will be here on that Sunday night. And so Brother Teddy stood up and said, my dad is really hard to buy Christmas for, buy any presents for. So my wife and I and their ministry bought him his brand new tent that's going to seat 2,000. Can't outgive God. Amen. He gave 1,000. God gave him a 2,000er. God will always take care of you. Be a giver. Amen. Pastor Rhonda Jean Spencer.
And now that Pastor Spencer gave the offering message, that's awesome, is you can't outgive God, seriously. And in this season, it is so important for us to move our money out of this natural realm and put it in the hands of a supernatural God. In Malachi 3, it is phenomenal, the promises and the blessings that God has, not just for when we take care of the poor, but when it says we bring all of the tithe into the storehouse, he promises then to bless us, to rebuke the devourer on our behalf. There are so many blessings when we become a giver, and it becomes fun to give. God loves a cheerful giver. Bishop Rick Thomas preached on Thursday night, and it was such a phenomenal atmosphere. People were lined up with joy and anticipation and excitement to be able to give into the kingdom of God. And I love this house so much because we give with joy. When God blesses you, before you can... This past week, I was sewing. I was giving on a Cash App. And while I was in the middle of giving, this is that trip you up portion. I know some of you might not understand what trip me up means in that declaration. What do you mean it's going to trip me up? This is what trip me up means. In the middle of my giving, somebody downloaded a Cash App and was giving me a Cash App. That's what trip you up. And you can't even get over it. The blessings are coming in. It becomes so much fun to give to the kingdom of God because he will bless us and bless us beyond even monetary. It's amazing the blessing and promises when we get our hearts settled and right with our giving before God. It says when we obey, all of these blessings will come upon us when we obey. So we've got to settle our hearts with giving to God. Pastor Spencer, what are you doing?
I got a testimony for you.
Tons.
I'm looking for the Kinneys, and I don't see them. Are they here? The Kinneys, I don't see them. They have a testimony, and I'll share it since they're not here. They actually, the Holy Spirit spoke to them an amount to give, and the night Bishop was there, and it was far...
Brother Ted, actually.
That was Brother Ted? Mm-hmm. And it was uncomfortable giving. It was a lot more than they were planning on. So they wrote out the check, and they brought it up front, and they gave it. They got a call the next morning from her...
No, she checked her bank account because she was going to go shopping.
From a relative, and five times what they gave was put into their bank account.
Random. And then another person giving again, the same thing, the same service, giving. The next day, the state called them with a report that there was a reduction in their premium or their insurance of $115 a month. So perpetual harvest. I mean, seriously, you cannot even begin to outgive God. But when we get our hearts settled with obedience to God, it's in that where God will, even in famine. In Genesis 26, it talks about Isaac sowed even in famine, and he was able to reap even in that time the blessing and the prosperity of God. It says in his word that above all, I wish that you would be in good health and prosper even as your soul prospers. It's what God desires for our life. So we just got to settle this whole money thing in our spirit. You know, there's a predicted drop and fall in the market that's coming. As a Christian and a child of God who've moved your money out of this natural realm in the supernatural, we have no fear of that. Because just like Genesis 26, the children of God will sow in that time, and we will stay above everything that happens in this natural realm. Even if he has to produce it from a bird delivering food on our doorstep or pulling money out of a fishes, however he's got to do it, he will do it to bless and prosper his children. It's our promises. Just like God cannot lie in any other area, why are we so receptive of it in every area, but we reject it when it comes to our finances? God cannot lie in every area of our lives. So stand to your feet before I go too long. I could go on and on and on and on and on and on. I am so blessed, and I am unashamedly blessed by God. Listen, my W-2 does not dictate my income. I am so far blessed beyond that W. That's like nothing. I can't wait for the day where the blessing of God, the straight blessing of God, is more than my W-2. It's getting close. It's getting real close. All right. Let's make our supernatural declaration. Thank you, Isaiah. Thank you. Somebody standing with me. All right.
Receive communion this morning. If you've not yet received a communion cup, if you'll slide your hand up, the ushers are ready. Wow. The ushers are ready to move quickly and make sure that we have communion cups available for you. There's a lot of folks with none. Amen. Here they come, Brother Ken and the rest of the team. Very good. I'm very excited about communion. I love communion because it reminds us what Jesus did on the cross. You know, a lot of folks have forgotten. They've gotten religious. Religion is not God's plan. Amen or oh my. The plan of God is relationship. The plan of God is covenant. God is a covenant God, and he loves it when we stay to his covenant. And you know, I pray over my family almost every day, and I pray over you. Now I want to share with you how I pray the covenant. God cannot lie. I want to teach you how to do this. This has everything to do with communion. You see, when you're right with God, then God hears your prayers. You know, gentlemen, we have a bad spot in the Bible. How many of you know men have husbands? If you're a husband, raise your hand. You have a bad spot in the Bible. Just want to share it with you. It's horrible. I've talked to God to change it out of his word, but he won't. And it says, if the husband is not right with his wife, that God no longer hears your prayers. Yeah, I really tried to get out of that one as much as I could. It didn't work. But like we all know, we want our prayers answered. That's why we pray. And the great part is that God is a covenant God. If you still need a communion cup, please raise your hand. They're right here. They're close. We definitely want you to know how to enjoy the covenant that God has. So what's the covenant? We know the blood washes away every single stain. So this is what I pray when I'm praying over my family. I say, and I actually verbalize. How many of you know life and death are in the power of the tongue? I actually verbalize because the words are powerful and prophetic. I say over Michael, over Rhonda, over Cody, over Chad, over Corinne, over Mindy, over Jade, over Antonio, over Sophia, over Julian, over Hunter, over Ezra, over all of Cody and Mindy's children to the fifth generation, all of Jade and Chad's children to the fifth generation, all of Corinne and Antonio's children to the fifth generation, and my mother, since her husband died, it's my responsibility to take care of my mom, and over my mother, Janet Perry. I decree in the name of Jesus that not one will be lost to sin. Thank you for the blood, Jesus. Not one will be lost to sin, but not only not lost to sin, every one to the fifth generation will fulfill the purpose for their breath on this earth. I declare in the name of Jesus, there is no sickness, no disease, no maiming, no wounding, no growths, and no spirits of infirmity that are allowed on our bodies in the name of Jesus. And then I declare that, Lord, I declare that we will prosper in all things, that our minds will be healed, that our souls will be healed, and that God will prosper so financially that the world will have to stand back and go like this. Well, I don't believe in prosperity. Well, then don't read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, because you'll never find a poor patriarch in there. So I want us to do it together. You ready? I pray it over you too. And I today want you to pray over your family. I want you to grab the cup, lift it up. And I want you, especially husbands, to start declaring. If you're a single parent, start declaring. If you're a grandma and grandpa, your family's not saved, start declaring in Jesus' name. Say their names right now, right to you. Read a little bit right out loud. You don't have to say it like boisterous, but say right out loud their names that you want to cover right now. Say them, go, say it. And I always throw in the fifth generation. I don't want it to go slow. Now pray this with me. In Jesus' name, I declare that everyone that I named will fulfill their purpose, will give their hearts to you, Jesus. Their blood, the blood of Christ, will be applied to their life. They'll serve you all the days of their life to the fifth generation. And I will be the greatest example of how to follow you and live a blood-washed life. In Jesus' name, amen. Receive together. Grab that piece of styrofoam. Repeat it after me. Jesus, all those names I declared, I speak in Jesus' name, according to the covenant of heaven. There is no sickness. There is no disease. There is no maiming. There is no wounding. There are no growths. And there are no demons of sickness that are allowed on our bodies. In Jesus' name, I command health and wholeness to be part of our covenant promise manifested in our life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake together. And then I want you to declare this with me. In Jesus' name, I declare I'm of sound mind. I am healed in my soul. And I declare in Jesus' name, I will prosper in all things. Money cometh. Oh God, let us be so blessed that the world will have to sit back and wonder who we are and even accuse, because we know they've got to wonder in the blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, give God a hand clap this morning. Thank Him for the covenant that is yea and amen. True. Praise God. I am so excited about the word today. It is just one of those words that literally changes people's lives. And I pray that today your heart is open. I pray that today, you know, there are times that when God speaks, that it literally changes your life. I heard a sermon last night, and I so enjoyed it. You know, it's amazing how many people have their own opinion of people. And sometimes, unless you're finding sin to be prominent in their life, especially preachers, you should be careful what you speak. I said you should be careful of what you speak. When you curse what God has blessed in ministry, it's a dangerous position. Say amen. And you know, I've always made a decision. So many people are against Joel Osteen. And you know, I'm not against Joel Osteen. In fact, I learned a lot from Daddy Osteen. And you know, just yesterday, I got on mowing the lawn, and I saw a message that he preached, and I had to listen to it. I've listened to it 3 times already. It encouraged me in the Lord. It built me in the Lord. It was solid word. Now, I'm not promoting Joel Osteen. But what I'm saying is, be careful and make sure that you allow the word of God freedom in your life to change your life. Amen? We've been talking this whole year about changing forward. We've been talking about consecrating your life, how you've got to learn how to step away from the things of the world. If you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. How so many Christians are literally exactly like the people of the world. They are no different in their activity. They are no different in their watching and their viewing. They are no different in their voice and in their mouth and how they speak. They are no different even in church attendance. They are no different than most people. It's time to recognize that God has called us to be separate, to come out from among them, and that we should be the example of heaven on earth. We've been talking about this. Last week, we talked about how to be led by the, how that we have to be led, that we can't allow sin to overcome our lives. And today, as I promised, I'm going to teach you, more of a teaching than preaching, how to hear the voice of God. How when you are hearing voices, that you're hearing the right voice. How many of you want to hear the right voice? Amen. And I've known a lot of people that are hearing the wrong voices. One time this girl walked up, she says, I hear voices all the time, Pastor. I said, let me cast the devil out of you. Hallelujah. Sometimes the voices are very bad. And sometimes we've got to recognize the right voice in our life. If you don't know how, then many people get confused in the spirit. And many people don't understand that God has a voice and wants you to hear His voice. That the voice of the Holy Spirit needs to be the most prominent, most powerful, most influential voice in your life. And when His voice is not the strongest in your life, then you've got to ask yourself, who are you actually following? Many people are following many things besides God. Say amen or oh my. Our verse for the year, Isaiah 43, verse 19. And I just want to share with you, I was excited yesterday driving back from West Virginia because I love knowing that I'm hearing too. There's nothing worse than as the pastor going, did I hear it right? Did I not hear it right? And you know, I knew God spoke this to me last fall, and it's been really cool watching it pop up. But yesterday on the way back from West Virginia, there was an entire billboard with only this verse on it. I went, come on now, Jesus. Come on now, God. You know, it's really cool. Brother Ted used it a few times and other pastors. It's good to know that you're hearing right. Can I hear an amen? Amen. You know, there's nothing worse than hearing wrong. I want to hear right. The Bible says, listen carefully. You can't hear if you don't listen. Thank you. You can't hear if you don't listen. Sometimes we talk too much. Or we're listening to so many other voices, we're not listening to the right one. But the Bible says here in God's word for these end times is, listen carefully, I'm about to do a new thing. It will spring up fast, which means it's going to happen quickly. And the fact is the Bible says right there in a quick little paraphrase process, it says, I'm going to make it happen fast. Will you even know it came? So there are a lot of people that call themselves Christians. There are a lot of people that say they believe in God. There are a lot of people that go to church that are going to miss this third outpouring of God's Spirit, that when God pours out these last days, they're going to miss it as it was prophesied in the book of Joel, because they are not listening, because they are not paying attention, because they are doing their own thing. They're listening to many voices, but the voice of God. And I want you to hear me. There's only one voice that should be thunderous in your life. There's only one voice that should be the most prominent in your life. It is the voice of Almighty God, the one who said, let there be, and there was. It's His voice that should hold the greatest prominence in who we are, especially as His church. Say amen or oh my. Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. I love this verse. But you know what? We read it one way, but you got to read it another way. It says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The fact is, if you're not led, you might not be. There are a lot of people that have this self-deception because they said a prayer when they were 5 years old. They had good intentions, but they have no relationship with God. It's a relationship with God. I work out my salvation with fear and trembling. The Bible says that we have a relationship with God, not a nice little prayerette that we pray when we were children and we expect it to carry us all the way through eternity. We've got to know that if we are led by the Spirit of God, we are the children of God, which means we're listening to God, which means listen carefully. I'm about to do a new thing and it's going to happen quickly. Will you even know? Maybe not, because you're not listening, because you might not be a child of God. There's a time for us to ask ourselves some honest questions, and that is, which voices are strongest in our lives? Because the voice that we listen to is actually our God. Like I said, there are a lot of voices. Wear a mask. Don't wear a mask. Wear two masks. I don't want to pick on Dr. Fauci, but I got to pick on him in a little bit. I mean, let's be real. Yeah, it's so crazy, man. This is like, he's flip-flopped all over the place, and yet so many Christians hold him higher than God. Listen now, I don't care if you wear a mask or don't wear a mask. That's not what I'm talking about. But when you put your faith in Dr. Fauci more than you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the Word of God, then there's a greater issue. Because who you listen to the most, who has the greatest influence in your life with their voice, is actually your God. Amen. Say amen or oh my. Amen. Get vaccinated. Don't get vaccinated. Even if you do get vaccinated. Go to church. Don't go to church. Hug your family. Don't hug your family. Church is unsafe. Church is safe. God is good. God can't save you. This is bad. This is good. Sin is acceptable. Sin's bad. There are voices everywhere. Man, they're resounding. Listen now, some of you watch way too much TV. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Fox Network is your greatest news. I've got news that you need to listen to. It's called the Word of God. You see, because God's Word is above Fox Network. I said God's Word is above CNN. Can I hear an amen? God's Word is above MSNBC. Can I hear an amen? God's Word is the highest pinnacle voice that should be heard in every single believer's life, because you will not be able to live in the Spirit. You'll not be able to walk in the Spirit if the greatest voice that you have is one that's on this planet. There's only one voice that should be the most prominent. And this is the problem with most believers. We walk more in the flesh than we do in the Spirit because we don't listen carefully. We want to do our own thing. So let me rephrase this verse for the year. Listen carefully. I'm about to do my own thing. It's what I want. And I don't really care if you like it or not. I'm going to do whatever I desire to do to make myself happy. I want you to recognize there is no stream in the desert for you. And there is no road in the wilderness, which means the supernatural is going to dry up in your life. It's time to say, God, I want to hear your voice. I want your voice to be the most prominent. I want your voice to be the strongest. Everybody say three. There are three main voices that people listen to. Number one is Satan's voice. You know, a lot of people don't like to talk about the devil. It's a little uncomfortable. Well, I don't believe in the devil. Listen, so many believers even would rather watch a movie showing Satanism, showing diabolical. Now, what was that book that everyone loved so much? Yes, that one. And then the vampire movies. And then, you know, we start getting into, we won't get into all of them. They love the movies. Oh, it's all supernatural. It's so exciting. But they're real. Listen, the first time you deal with a real devil, your hair starts to curl. First time you have somebody manifest a demonic spirit in front of you, you're not going to be going, wow, that would look good in a movie. The first time a demon manifests in front of you, the very first time that you watch someone being tossed like a little boy. Listen, I watched a little girl, 4'11", her name was Tina, take five grown men and start throwing them around like little toys. I had a demon spirit sit literally on my chest and start choking me out in my neck. I can talk to you about how demons manifest, and it's amazing in America. We don't listen. We don't even talk about demons. We don't talk about Satan because we don't really think it's real. We just see it all the time in the movies. But you go to any other country and the demonic activity is very real. You go to any other country and demon activity is not some fake thing that we kind of made up as a church, but it is a real thing because Satan is real. Demons are real and they're really active in people's lives. They're just not running around with a little red suit with a pitchfork. The problem with the church is if we don't start identifying that, we might be listening to Satan's voice and we don't even know it. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. And I'm not talking outside the church, I'm talking inside the church. There are a lot of people in the church that don't believe. They come to church, they, you know, did their little satisfying little salvation call to appease their spirit. But they don't follow God. They don't live for God. They don't have a relationship with God. They might talk to him on Sunday or when they're in trouble. But they don't talk to Jesus other than that. They don't pick up their Bible. They don't go to Bible. In fact, you get them to the house of God is a miracle. It's time to recognize that the devil is active in people's lives. Why? Because he'd rather have you hear his voice than any other voice. And the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto man that leads to death. We can actually convince ourselves, even listening to a diabolical voice, that it's a God thing. This is the danger of the body of Christ. Listen, I'll prove it to you. I'll prove it to you. Ready? Genesis chapter 1. God created all things. Genesis 2, God set things in order. Genesis chapter 3, we see Eve in the garden. Eve's sin was not eating the fruit. Eve's sin was listening to the voice of the devil. If she had never listened to the voice, she would never have eaten the fruit. She allowed the voice of Lucifer to be the voice that was stronger than that of God himself, who walked with them in the cool of the day. And she abandoned all that she had because the voice of Satan was more influential than the voice of God. See, this is something that is not new. This goes all the way back to creation. So we have to make sure ourselves that we're listening to the right voice, because the Bible says Satan comes as an angel of light. He's going to come with the right things. Right things said, right things done. He's going to sucker you in. That's his job. That's what he does. We've got to know the voice of God, because the voice of God is always different from the voice of Satan. Satan is using his voice always to obstruct the word of God. This is when all this stuff came down. The first thing they did was they said all over the nation, and it still is. I was just talking to a pastor down from Atlanta. In fact, I was communicating with him this morning. One of the pastors from Atlanta said, still 2/3 of all the churches are closed in Atlanta. All the mega churches are still closed in Atlanta. But the word of God doesn't say to close. The word of God didn't say to close. This isn't communist China. Yet. We're not there yet. But even in communist China, they still meet. The pastors get thrown in prison. In communist Cuba, they still meet. They meet in houses, and when the church starts getting too powerful, literally the government comes in and snatches the pastor out, throws him in prison, and then they go and build another internal house. They're not allowed to have church buildings, so they literally gut an entire house and fill it with people that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, with signs and wonders following, with salvation and the power of God being manifested, because they're listening to the voice of God. I want you to recognize today that there is a direct attack against the church, and most of the church has agreed with it to come. We've listened to the wrong voices. And the problem is, we're listening to the wrong voices literally stops the movement of God. Now, I'm not saying it debunks God, for the church will not be destroyed. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. But the gates of hell definitely have prevailed against churches. As 99, and they're saying about 90 plus thousand churches will close because of COVID last year. Oh my. Normally it's 9,000 a year. This year, 10 times that will close. Why? Was it God's plan to shut down his church? No. The problem is that the church listened to the wrong voices. When you listen to the wrong voice, you can't expect God's blessing. Come on now. You see, we've got to make a decision that God's voice is stronger, more influential. It's what I'm going to obey more than Satan's voice. Listen now, this Satan's voice is very powerful in culture. There are many cultures that are molded by satanic and antichrist mindsets. And therefore, the devil gets his way while the church sits back and sways and still does nothing within the body of Christ. It's time to be the salt and the light. Listen now, we see it now even today. My uncle was a missionary in Northern California. Quebec, and he was with the I said it in the first service. I gotta remember. It was the Cree Indians, and he was a missionary to the Cree Indians. And I went up there and did ministry. And what was amazing to me was that he'd been shot at twice. Why was he shot at? His name is Gary Wilcox. He was shot at twice because they said to him, the Cree Nation said, Indian way is above God's way. They made the statement. Listen, we deal with them right now in America. How many genders are there? Oh, let's talk science. Two. There are two. Science, two. But yet we're hearing the satanic voice ripple through even our young people, ripple through our government, ripple through people, saying there are multiplicities of genders and that God, ultimately, God screwed up and he didn't do it right.
Whose voice are you listening to? People have taken that. Oh, somebody said to me recently, well, you know, Pastor, now that weed is legalized, we can smoke weed, right? I said, what are you, stupid? There's nothing wrong with weed. God made the plant. I said, then go smoke a sumac. They won't smoke a sumac because you're not going to get high. You're not going to lower the girding of your mind. So they listen to the devil who says now it's legal to smoke weed, but they won't listen to the word of God that says gird up the loins of your mind and don't give the devil a placement. See, the devil's sneaky, man. And because our government is definitely not born again, we need to pray for our government. Well, let's do that right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for Governor Cuomo. His grandmother is born again, spirit-filled. She's been praying for him for years. We stand in the gap right now with her. We bind our hearts with her right now that man will fall to his knees and confess you as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that he'll ask you to be his Lord and Savior. Fill him with the Holy Ghost, oh God. Let him be a governor that's going to lead under the direction of the Word of God and the voice of God, not the voice of the devil. In Jesus' name, amen. It's important that we know this. If we don't differentiate this, we'll believe the wrong voice and be led by the wrong people. The next voice that many people, in fact, more listen to probably than even Satan himself, is the voice of the flesh. The voice of the flesh, what's the flesh? The Bible says in Romans 8, your flesh is the enemy of God because your flesh has nothing good in it. What is your flesh? Your intellect, your emotions, and your will. You see, when God created us fearfully and wonderfully, he gave us an intellect, say amen. He gave us a will, say amen, which Eve exercised with Adam in the garden to disband and break the covenant they had with God. And then they also had emotions. How many of you glad that you got emotions?
Well, I'm not emotional.
God gave you emotions. It's okay to cry, man.
Yes, amen.
Amen. You see, all the ladies are saying amen. Amen. I wish my husband would cry. Nothing wrong with crying, man. There's nothing wrong. The Bible says be angry and sin not. There's nothing wrong with anger as long as it's not dealt with in an unbiblical manner. You see, emotions are so, but when your emotions, when your intellect, and when your personal will have a larger voice than that of God's Holy Spirit, there's no way to walk in the Spirit. Therefore, you'll fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Bible is so clear about this in the book of Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 21. So I say, let the Spirit guide your life. Then you won't be doing what is sinful, what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting against each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Here it is right now, verse 18. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are clear. So I want to show you this. The results I'm about to read are not the actual sin. The actual sin is that you are led by your flesh. These are the manifestation. Has anybody here ever had a pimple before? Do you remember? I mean, I still get pimples. I'm 55 years old. What is wrong with this thing? But you remember when you were a kid, you know, and you had an important day in front of you, maybe you go on a date or something, and you woke up that morning and you had the shining star on the end of your nose. Shazam! I'm not talking it was just a little zit. I'm talking it was a zit. I'm talking it had that white head on the top. And it just said to you, I am going to explode. But you knew if you exploded that thing, there would be a crater. So you said to yourself, I don't know what I'm going to do. So all of a sudden, man, you pop that thing, it hits your mirror. All of that is gross. But it's really not the issue. The issue is it was an infection inside of your pore. That's the real issue. That was just a manifestation that we all react to. The reaction cannot be at the manifestation. The reaction has to be at the root of the problem. And the root of the problem is that so many are not led by the Spirit. They'd rather fulfill their own desires, their own cravings, their own passions, rather than to submit to God and obey God. For if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, obey me. Rather than loving God, they'd rather do their own thing. Say amen or oh my. Don't freak out over it hitting the mirror. Freak out over the infection in the pore. These right here are the mirror being hit, but it's still not the problem. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality. If you're having sex with somebody that is not your spouse, it is called fornication and it is a sin. Well, I got a lot of amens on that one. Say amen. They did a study actually on the millennials and the Z generation. And the majority of them are now saying that sex before marriage is not a sin, that 80% of them say that it is no longer a sin, that the Bible must be wrong. Bible's not wrong. You're listening to the wrong voice. If you're having sex outside of marriage and you're not married, it's sin. I said it's a sin. I said it's a sin to have sex with somebody you're not married to. It's very uncomfortable to be in church today. Yes, amen. But we're addressing the flesh. And you can't expect the flesh to go, yahoo. Because the flesh is the enemy of God. The flesh wants to destroy you. Listen, if you don't get the sin out, the sin will kill you. And the sin is not just having sex with somebody you're not married to. Or if you are married, you're having sex with somebody who you're not married to. That's called adultery. Either way, sexual immorality is the pus hitting the mirror. And the real issue is that your heart is not for God. You would rather obey the flesh than obey the Holy Spirit. Say amen or oh my. Impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery. I'll just say it one more time. This is where in the scripture, when someone says to you, show me in the Bible where smoking weed is wrong. It's right here. The Greek word for sorcery is pharmacia, which is the word for drugs. And we're not talking like you need a Tylenol drug. I'm talking a mind-bending, mind-change. Well, it's good for you. Really? That's why if you get caught smoking weed and you're driving, you're still going to get a DUI. It's wrong. Say amen. It's wrong. Shout, smoking weed is a flesh thing. Jesus. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition. Don't tell me, God, what to do. I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. Dissension, division, drunkenness, and parties. And other sins like these. Watch now. Be careful. Let me tell you again. I'm not saying this. Please turn in terms of the pastor didn't say this. Tell somebody else. Pastor didn't say this. Say it out loud. Just blame Jesus. Here it is. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not go to heaven. I didn't say it. Remember, you look at the root. The root is the infection. The infection is you'd rather live for the flesh than live for the Spirit. That's the root of the voice you're listening to. This is where we've got to make a decision. I'm going to walk by the Spirit, which means my flesh isn't going to get what it always wants to get. Can I hear an amen? You don't let your kids have everything they want. If your kid came up to you in the morning, let's say at 6 a.m., woke you out of a dead sleep and said, can I have a candy bar? You're going to say what? Well, of course you can, honey. I want your teeth to rot out of your head. Please have 6 candy bars a day. It's good for you. You're not going to say that to your kid. Your kid walks up to you when we had school or we're getting back to school finally and says, I'm not going. Listen, you got a first grader looking at you and saying, I'm not going to school another day. Excuse me? I'm the spirit. You send that child to school because their flesh don't want to go to school. But the spirit says, go to school. Influence. You can't trust your flesh. And if your flesh is the loudest voice in your life, you're doomed to constantly struggle or not make it. That's why the Bible says, these are the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit is going to lead you into blessing. The Holy Spirit is going to lead you into a posture where it pleases God. The Holy Spirit is going to posture you to where you can have all the covenant rights that God has for you. But you can't expect to live by the flesh and still get God's benefits. Feelings. Whoa, 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 feelings. Oh, oh. One time I had somebody come up to me and said, Pastor, I was in prayer this week and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I said, cool, man. What did the Spirit of God say? The Holy Spirit told me to leave my husband and my children and to go on the road as an evangelist. I said, huh? I said, wrong voice. That's really how I do it too. Wrong voice. And then she got mad. How dare you tell me I'm not hearing the voice of God? I said, it's easy. The Spirit and the Word always agree. Yeah. Wrong voice. Your feelings don't dictate to you. Well, I just feel like, who cares what you feel? Well, I feel like I deserve to be. Who cares what you feel? Well, that's just not nice. God didn't promise you happy. God promised you joy. Happy is a quick-ending pit that always seems to be motivated by circumstances, where joy, which is your strength, the joy of the Lord is your strength, is knowing Him, walking in Him, obeying Him. And when you're in joy, even in the middle of the most horrific advance of the enemy, you will always be able to stand there with your shoulders back and your head high and speak unto the mountain and say, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and the joy of the Lord will be your strength. But if your feelings, whoa, 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 feelings, you're governed by your feelings, you're in trouble. Because your feelings can't be trusted. You've got to know the voice to hear. And your voice should never be feelings. Because one minute you feel this way, the next minute you feel that way. It always makes me, when I do premarital counseling, I always warn them. You're not always going to get that oochie-goochie feeling. You know, when you're dating, you can't wait to be with them every second of every time. You're on the phone with them all the time. I love you. I love you. But if you've been married, that works for a while. And then sometimes you don't feel that. I got that, you know, you don't always feel that beautiful feeling. Sometimes you say, oh my God, what did I get myself into? You can't be governed by your feelings, man. You're governed by the Holy Spirit, amen? You got to be governed by the Holy Spirit or you're going to cause yourself trouble that you don't deserve, but you earned. That was tweetable. There's only one voice that should be the most prominent. That's the voice of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to teach you here in a few seconds. All this is intro. Say it with me. The Word and the Spirit always agree. So if you're hearing something that you can't validate in the Word, you don't agree with it. Feelings. Multiple genders. I deserve to be happy. smoke weed? You chuckle, man, but we have people in this church that's 70 years old that's still smoking weed. They think I don't know. That's the funny part to me. They really think I don't know. And the best part is the people that are sleeping around together, they just think the pastor doesn't know. He knows. He knows. But really, who cares if I know? What matters is, does God know? Because I'm just a guy. But God is God. He has the power to cast into the lake of fire, because your name will not be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because you're not following the Holy Ghost's voice, you're following your own voice or the demonic voices. You need to know that you and I are called, especially these last days, to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Bible says in John 10, verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Which says this, if my sheep know my voice and listen to it, that means there are some that don't listen. Here's 10, verse 4 and 5. They won't follow a stranger, they will run from him because they don't know his voice. Stranger danger! Turn to someone and say, stranger danger! Got to say that to the devil. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. We have got to be so repelled by any other voice but the voice of heaven. Say amen. God will prosper you in your businesses. God will prosper you in your relationships. God will prosper you in your finances. God will prosper you, most of all, in your spirit. God will prosper you in all areas of your life if you will allow yourself to be walking in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, this couple here, they are faith people. Stand right there. Yeah, you too. Yeah. These people are crazy faith people. Crazy faith. Like, sometimes they believe in things, and I'm looking at it and I said, do you really think that's going to happen? I said that in my head. I'm sorry, I didn't say it, mean to say it out loud. And then, man, God prospers. God gets them a building. God gets them hundreds of thousands of dollars for their ministry. They drive in with a vehicle that's nicer than my vehicle. You know, God gives them vans. Because they are walking in the Spirit. And man, they believe, and God prospers them, blesses them, and it's crazy faith. You folks have crazy faith. We honor you for that. Crazy faith. Like crazy faith. So let's talk about it. How does God, by His Holy Spirit, speak to us? There are many ways. Ready? Number one. You want to write that down. This will be helpful. You won't remember unless you write that down. Go ahead. Grab your phone. Go to notes. I won't be offended that you're on your phone. Ready? Number one, the audible voice of God. We see the audible voice of God with Moses and the burning bush. We see the audible voice of God with Jesus being baptized, and the Father spoke out loud. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So we know the audible voice of God. But we also know that John heard the audible voice of Jesus on the Isle of Patmos, and he used to hang out with Jesus. But when the audible voice, the thundering voice of Christ came, he fell on his face as of dead. So the audible voice of God is a way that God does speak to people. I think Brother Ted said he's heard the audible voice of God two times in his life. Now, my uncle, who is a bishop in the Church of God Church and has been a bishop for over 60 years, was actually called into ministry by the audible voice of God. And then he said to God, please don't do that again. The audible voice of God is not like, it's the audible voice of the Creator. And there are people probably in this room that have heard the audible voice of God. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. It does. But it doesn't happen as often as some of these other ways. The second way that the Holy Spirit will speak to you is mainly through the whisper in your spiritual man. This is found in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. And he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great storm wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. The main way the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you outside of the Word of God, the Word of God is the number one way to hear the voice of God. But the other way is that in your spiritual man, some say, well, that's my subconscious man. No. If you're born again, shout amen.
Amen.
Just as I am. Not everybody said amen, so I'm going to give an altar call. If you're born again, shout amen.
Amen.
So now you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Where does the Spirit of God dwell? Inside of you. So where's he going to speak from? Inside of you. It's called the whisper of the Holy Ghost. You're going to hear the Holy Spirit say things to you. And you know, this is a problem that I struggle with. You don't mind me sharing some of my struggles. I'm not almost done. So here's the problem with some of my struggles. I wanted to give hope, but I couldn't. I'd be a liar. So here's one of the issues is that I'm a busy guy. I'm talking like I'm a really busy person. How many here are really busy people? The moment your floor hits the floor, baby, you're 1,000 miles an hour until you pretty much lay your head down at night. So I have a problem because I get up, used to get up and then go just straight to the man cave and spend time with the Lord. And that was awesome. But I found that when my foot hit the floor, that I would start struggling with thoughts running rampant through my brain. So the bishop gave me a secret that he uses that I'm now going to share with you. What the bishop does, before he gets out of bed, he spends between about 40 to 45 minutes just laying there, not putting his foot on the floor. And the reason is because the moment you put your foot on the floor, now you've got 10,000 things to do, lays in bed and just starts talking to the Holy Spirit. What do you want me to do today? What do you want to speak to me today? What do you want to direct me in today? In fact, a lot of the messages that I get are laying in the bed where now I'm calming myself. I'm waking up and now my spirit man isn't busy. I'm here, I'm there. I'm right down listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. You see, listen carefully. You can't listen carefully if you're busy. There's only one voice that's more important than any other voice, and I don't mean your wife. That's the voice of the Holy Spirit in the morning. And if you will choose to arrest yourself, you know, this is just what I do. You can do whatever you want. But I'm now spending about 30 to 40 minutes in my bed before I climb and put my foot on the floor. Because the moment I put my foot on the floor, I know I'm going to go get her coffee. I know that I'm going to either put a bagel in or a piece of toast in and put a lot of butter on it and put in sugar and cinnamon. And then I'm going to bring it down into the bed as she raises her bed up so she can be served in her own bed. And I hand her breakfast in the morning, and she says, thank you, honey. Then I go to the man cave, and then I got problems because now my brain is 10,000 miles an hour of all the things I got to do for the day. So I'm taking that time to listen carefully. I want to encourage you to start learning, whether it's that process or another, to hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit. Another way the Holy Spirit speaks to us is through prompting. What does that mean? That means an urge or a sense where, you know, going through the supermarket and you go through all that candy and yet you know that you're on a diet. You know you don't need any candy. Say amen or am I? You know you shouldn't have any candy. You know, you just said that morning, you fat thing, you need a diet. But now you're standing there and your stomach is protruding and you're looking at that and you said, you don't even like Three Musketeers, but it says to you, I'm a pretty rapper. I'm a pretty rapper. Eat me. Please eat me. You don't even like it. After three of them, you've now decided that that was a horrible life decision. But you just felt prompted, drawn to the Three Musketeers bar. Many times that's how the Holy Spirit will work, where all of a sudden, you don't know why, but you just feel drawn to aisle 5 at Walmart. You're in aisle two, man. You're getting your stuff at aisle two. What's in aisle five anyways? Is there anybody here that knows what's in aisle five at Walmart? I'm just guessing. What is it? The ice cream. Oh, Jesus. That must have been prophetic. Aisle five. So you're pulled out of God saying, he just prompts you. I want you to go to aisle five. Well, I don't really know what's in aisle five, God. But if you want me to go to aisle five, because you're now listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to go to aisle five. And you walk down aisle five. There's an old friend you haven't seen in a decade who you know is going through hell and back. And God gives you the opportunity to share the good news that Jesus Christ came, died on the cross, rose from the dead so their sins can be forgiven and they can have hope and peace and joy in the Spirit of God. Or someone's there that needs healing. You can lay hands on them right in Wally World, and God will use you to heal the sick. That's that prompting. And then there's another one called nudging. You know what a nudge is. Come here, Isaac. Prompting is more that the Holy Spirit says, see that yellow strip? You should probably go over there. Look at that, man. He's led by the Holy Ghost. Nudging is a little bit different, especially when you don't first obey. The Holy Spirit will say, I told you you should go over to that orange. Go ahead. And then you stop. I said to the orange. No, really, go to the orange. The nudge. The nudge. Yeah, and then he's happy. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will just nudge you because you're not listening carefully, and he'll start nudging you. Come on now, you need to do this. Come on now, you need to do this. Come on now, you need to give here. Come on here, you need to give there. Come on there, you need to call so-and-so. Come on now, you need to go share the gospel. Come on now, you need to put your job application over there. Because you're not listening, like, carefully, so he'll start to nudge you. I love the Holy Ghost. He's so good to us. Another one is conviction. I got that nasty feeling. When all of a sudden you're getting ready to sin, the Holy Ghost says, don't do that. Don't do that. I don't want you to do that. You know, come on now, you know if you do that, it's going to end here. And then you end up doing it, and you regret every moment of it. Respond to the Holy Spirit, and you won't have to go down that road. Say amen. The Holy Spirit speaks in prophetic ways, whether it be visions or dreams. The number one way is the Word of God. Not only the written Word of God, but the preached Word of God. This is why the devil strived to close the churches, so that the Word of God would become mute. There is a different anointing being in the presence of God when it's preached than when you're watching online. It's a different anointing. It's not the same. That's why? Because God said, forsake not the assembly of yourself as the matter of some is, especially in the last days. Because if it was the same anointing, he wouldn't have had to say that. There's a different power. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. The preached word of God is powerful and important. That's why the Bible says that the church increased, because they remained in the apostles' doctrine steadfast, because they fellowshiped, they ate together, and they prayed together. They were together, and in that, when the word is preached, when the word is taught, there is an impact to the spiritual man. And you know that the word, when it's taught correctly, is always going to change you from within, because his word cannot return void. And then reading. Just a lot of people don't read the Bible anymore. Well, I don't like to read. Well, I don't know that God said, do you like to read? Okay. You need to read the word. I'm praying for a resurrection of a fire passion for, again, getting into the word of God. Why? Because you want to know God's will? Read the Bible. Somebody came up to me once and said, I need a word from the Lord, Pastor. I need God to speak to me. Do you have a word from the Lord? And I said, I do. They got so happy. And I looked at it and said, pray and read the Bible every day. That's not what they wanted to hear. They wanted a prophetic thundering from the Most High God to enter into their spirit man and give them the direction that they need. No, no, no. Read your Bible, pray every day. You'll hear from God. Every day, because he has some nugget in there that's going to burst in your spirit. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing dividing the soul, spirit, and marrow, and discerning thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit, pneuma, and life, zoe. The word is our number one way to hear the scripture, to hear the voice of heaven. Being in the house of God is another main way that God created. God created. Don't blame me. Blame God. You don't like it? Take it up with him. To hear the word, to hear the voice of heaven to the church. But every day, man, no matter what voice you hear, you got to do this. Does that line up with the word of God? Does that line up with the scripture? Because if it doesn't, it's the wrong voice, no matter how pretty it is. Say amen. Here we go. Four steps. I've never really done steps before, but here's four steps. Number one, withdraw yourself from worldly distractions. If you don't do that, you'll never be able to hear. And you hyper-busy people, like myself, you might want to try that morning thing. Number two, praise and worship opens our hearts. It's like a spiritual antenna. Number three, let God hear your voice. You pray, not just because you're in trouble. Do you know how many people pray because they're in trouble? Don't wait till you're in trouble. Talk to him. Number three, God, not my will, but your will. You do those four steps. Was that four? You do those four. You do those four steps. I'm not a step guy. You do those four steps. You'll hear the voice of heaven and you'll walk right. Amen? Amen. If you don't walk right, you might be shocked when you wake up. That's not what God's plan is for your life. He wants you blessed going in and blessed going out, blessing your storehouse, blessing your back. The blessing's going to chase you down. They're going to trip you up because I'm a child of God. I'm the head and not the tail. Bless you abundantly above all you could even ask or even fathom, imagine in your own mind. He's got great things for us. We're the church, the body of Christ. And in this, we can't fail unless we don't listen. I challenge you. And I know today was more teachy. It's all right. You don't mind, do you? That's good stuff right there. People spend thousands of dollars. When Zig Ziglar was alive, they spent thousands of dollars to hear a man tell him how for 8 hours to make money. You can make all the money in the world you want. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will the man give in exchange for his soul? You just gave me 1 hour of your life of a week to deposit some principles of how to hear the voice of God. I pray you'll cherish those words because they're not mine. They're right from Scripture. And if you do, you'll be, I don't know, honey, I just think we're very blessed. We're just very blessed people. And it's not because she's cute, although she is very cute. But we know the principles. You want your families to work out right? You want your money to work out right? You want your marriage to work out right? You got to do it God's way. But you don't know God's way if you don't hear his voice. Amen? Bow your head with me this morning. This morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I give an altar call every single week. This morning, first service already, two people gave their hearts to Jesus. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that is the only way you're going to hear the voice of God. The only, this has messed people up right here. Everyone always says, God hears every prayer. That's a lie. God does not hear the prayer of a sinner. How do I know that? Because the Bible says the only prayer that God hears from a sinner is repentance. Because it's only then that they're a child of God, washed in the blood of Jesus, and now have a right to come before the throne of God boldly. Today, God wants you to be his child. He wants you to know him. He wants you to walk with him. He has got great things for your life. Don't trade your life for stupid, fleshly things. Today, if you do not know Jesus and you want him in your heart, you want to start this relationship with God, I want you to slide your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. Thank you, honey. God, I've been working with you all service. I'm so excited that you responded. Anybody else? I'm not going to wait long. Come on, come on. There's two more. God's been working on you the whole service. 5, 4, 3, 2, last call. Remember, not raising your hand still means you made a decision. Your decision. And last call, and one. Let's all stand to our feet. As your pastor, my wife and I are very excited that we are going to be part of that end time revival church. We are going to listen carefully and we are going to respond quickly. Amen. Remember when you didn't respond quick to your parents? The law of love touched you from behind. Respond quick. You'll find the great God has great things for your life. I love you. We believe in you. We pray for you. And we know that God will do mighty things if you let him. Amen. Bow your heads with me this morning. Jesus, we release a blessing in the house. God, we thank you for your church. God, these are not my people. God, these are your people. This is not our church. God, this is your church. God, it's not our plans. It's your plans. And Father, we thank you that you have honored us to be part of this end time revival. We thank you that we can look at the signs of the time and see that things are coming to a culmination. We declare, God, thank you for trusting us to be part of your end time harvesters. And Jesus, we choose to be used by you more than anything else. Holy Spirit, we will listen carefully. Prompt us, nudge us, whisper to us. Spank us, correct us, whatever you got to do, Holy Ghost. We lay our lives on the altar of Christ as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service. And we declare, Jesus, you are not just our Savior. Jesus, you are our Lord. And we will obey you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. I love you. Don't forget, this is Mother's Day week. You don't want to miss it. Make sure you encourage, strengthen somebody. Call your moms. If you don't have your mom alive, call somebody that is a spiritual mom and encourage them. We love you. Serve God with all of your heart. If you raise your hand for salvation, we want to encourage you. Make your way to the front of the altar where Mindy is. Yes, Father, in the name of Jesus, I need someone to go get that.
Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name.
Something happens when I call your name. Something.